What's striking about the list is that much of the political change is coming from countries in transition from civil war to democracy. Anders Johnson is the Secretary General of the Interparliamentary Union, the IPU.
In Africa, what we see is, first of all, in countries who have gone through internal conflict or strife, countries like Mozambique, like South Africa, more recently like Burundi and Rwanda, these are countries who in the transition period have paid a lot of attention to the issue of women and, you know, debating their role in society, their role and their share of political power. And they have made provisions and taken steps to make sure that they are, in fact, have a fair chance to participate in political and public life.
The Rwandan parliament is 49% female, and it leads not only Africa in terms of gender parity, but also the world. Second and third are Sweden with nearly 45% and Norway with nearly 38%. Other African parliaments made up of at least 30% women are Mozambique, South Africa, Burundi, Tanzania, Namibia, Uganda, and Eritrea. In many African democracies, there are quotas that parliaments and political parties must meet to encourage the selection of women. One regional body that encourages such measures is the Southern African Development Community. In fact, Anders Johnson of the Interparliamentary Union says about 20% of all Southern African legislatures are made up of women, a figure surpassed only by Nordic countries. Margaret Menzah-Williams is the vice chairperson or deputy speaker of the Namibian Senate. She's one of about 29 women serving as presiding officers or speakers of parliaments worldwide. Others in Africa come from Burundi, Lesotho, South Africa, Liberia, and Zimbabwe. Menzah-Williams met this week with more than a dozen other parliamentary speakers to discuss how women have changed the operations and agendas of the bodies in which they work. On the positive side, she said, legislation like bills governing education and inheritance now take women's concerns into consideration. On the other hand, women MPs still face what they see as bias.
We saw a few of the women speakers saying that they were actually votes of no confidence within them for the mere fact that people were discriminating against them as females. Not that they have done something wrong. I think one of the speakers said it clearly. She said it was the third time they tried it, and they failed every time because there was no substantive evidence of what they were saying. It merely bogged down to the main reason that it's just because it's a woman, they cannot be, under the rule of a woman. The speaker from Lesotho, for instance, said that female speakers now, MPs now feel that they can speak because the heckling of men in parliament mostly, those interjections that they are shouting at, shut up, you're a woman, keep quiet, some things like that intimidate some women, and then they keep quiet.
Menzah-Williams says the women speakers are considering taking their complaints to the Interparliamentary Union's Human Rights Committee for investigation. It could encourage parliaments to pass bylaws to restrict, for example, the type of language used during debate. She also encourages more mentoring of women and networking among colleagues to increase their support. Africa's women legislators will be telling these and other stories during the next 2 weeks in New York in meetings before the UN Commission on the Status of Women. It will consider the various findings as it works to create policies for ending political discrimination against women and increasing their economic empowerment. I'm William Eagle in Washington.